Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really crucial topic if you're innovating in the dental space.
Yeah, how to actually fund those critical clinical studies. It's a big one.
Definitely. We've pulled together some fantastic insights straight from a panel discussion. We're talking investors, strategic players.
Right, folks with deep experience in med devices, dental, VC, they've seen it all.
So think of this as your shortcut. We've basically distilled their wisdom for you.
Exactly. We're cutting through the noise to get you the key strategies for funding studies and, you know, getting those innovations to market, hearing straight from the decision maker.
Okay, let's jump right in then. First big point, what's the goal of these studies? Why are you doing them?
Yeah, Eugene Dorf made a really key point here. He said funding for clinical development, well, it's basically funding the value of your product or brand.
That's a neat way to put it. So it's not just about the science in isolation.
Not at all. It's an investment in the asset itself. And to do that right, you've got to be crystal clear on the outcome you need.
Okay, so what specifically, what kind of outcomes are we talking about?
Well, what exactly will you do with the data? Is it for, say, FDA approval? Just getting that green light.
Right, the basic market entry.
Or maybe you're already on the market and you want to expand the uses, you know, label expansion.
Okay, or maybe just showing you're better than the competition. Market differentiation.
Exactly. And knowing that outcome helps you decide on the type of study.
Yeah, makes sense. Like, should you run it at a university or maybe in private practices?
Precisely. That decision flows directly from what you want to achieve, aligning research with your business goals from day one.
Okay, so goal clarity is step one. But it's not just about clinical efficacy, is it? There are bigger strategic things to consider.
Absolutely. William Weber, he brought in the perspective of a strategic acquirer, someone who might buy your company down the line.
And what are they looking for? What's on their checklist beyond does it work?
Well, they're looking at the breadth of application. How many different things can this technology do?
Okay. Versatility.
Yeah. And also, how does it fit into their existing product line? Does it complement what they already sell or does it stick out?
That's a really important point for startups to think about early on. The potential fit.
For sure. And another big one. How does it integrate into the actual workflow of a dental practice?
You mean like the day-to-day patient journey?
Exactly. From diagnosis through treatment, even post-treatment. Does your tech solve a real unmet need somewhere in that flow? That's huge for strategic.
William also made a distinction, didn't he, between studies for getting approval versus studies done later.
Yeah, he pointed out that for regulatory approval, you often want to keep the study design pretty straightforward. Simple, efficient, prove safety and efficacy.
Get the green light.
Right. But post-approval studies might be designed differently, maybe to show broader benefits or new applications.
And he mentioned off-label use, too.
He did. It's common with medical devices using them for things they weren't specifically approved for. And that reality can actually influence how a company sees its own tech's potential market.
Interesting stuff. Okay, let's pivot to the investors now. What makes them tick? Bart Doden's had some cautionary advice.
Yeah, really important advice. He warned against, like, highlighting too many potential uses early on.
Oh, why is that? Seems counterintuitive.
His point was you risk defocusing, spreading yourself too thin, diluting your core message. He said it's much better to really nail one key indication first.
Focus. Makes sense. Prove one thing really well before branching out.
Exactly. Then Bindusaran Apa brought in the private equity angle. His insights showed how much the need for clinical studies depends on the actual product and market.
Can you give an example?
Sure. He mentioned orthodontics versus implants. In ortho, you might see fewer big clinical trials compared to the implant market, where they're often seen as, well, essential already.
Oh, right. Different market expectations.
And he really hammered home the importance of the primary endpoint of a study.
The main thing you're trying to measure.
Precisely. That single make or break result. That's where your resources should focus, because that's what regulators and investors are laser focused on.
So what attracts PE money specifically, according to Bindusaran?
Okay, so things like market access. Is it a big market you can actually reach? Is it a platform technology?
Meaning, can it help sell other stuff too? Leverage the sales team.
Exactly. Leverage. And crucially, what's the value generated per clinic? that really dictates your commercialization strategy.
How you actually sell it.
Yeah. He also stressed the board's role in later stage companies for direction and warned entrepreneurs about restrictive investment terms. Gotta watch out for those.
Good warning. And he circled back to that utilization per clinic idea, right? Matching your sales plan to reality.
Yes, understanding that frequency of use is critical. It all has to line up.
Okay, now Jeremy Krell's perspective on entrepreneurs in that dreaded valley of death, what makes a founder exceptional in his view?
He talked about honesty. Founders who are really honest with themselves about their strengths, are they the tech person or the commercial person? And being realistic about the company's path.
And the valley of death,
yeah.
That gap between tech validation and actually selling successfully.
Yeah. It's a killer for many startups.
Yeah.
Jeremy explained you might get a technology exit. Someone buys your cool tech early on.
Before you fully commercialized it.
Right. But actually crossing that valley to build a real business, that takes different skills, different money, maybe even a different team.
It's like building the car versus driving it to the dealerships and selling it.
Perfect analogy. He used oral cancer tech as an example. They get FDA approval, but then dentists are hesitant. Insurers won't pay easily.
Why? If it's approved.
Because they need different proof. What Jeremy called provider validation data. Does it fit their workflow? Is it cost effective for them?
Ah, so you need data for the regulators and data for the providers and data for the payers, multiple stakeholders.
Exactly. You have to understand all those perspectives. Jeremy also noted a trend. Corporate VC arms making smaller bets just to get a commercial edge or early look.
Smart move for the corporations. And he mentioned his own firm, Revere Partners.
Yeah, briefly. Mentioned they invest seed through Series B across different parts of the dental market.
So getting through that valley, Eugene Dorf had more warnings there too.
He did. He reiterated that underestimating the resources needed for dental market entry is a classic mistake. That's how companies fall into the valley and just stay there.
Ah, so it seems like it's yet another common pitfall.
Yeah, this one's surprising, but apparently common. Founders who know their tech inside out but are clueless about their competition.
Really? How does that happen?
You'd be surprised. Lack of competitive awareness is a huge red flag for investors and a barrier to market entry.
Wow, okay. William Weber also shared some cautionary tales, right? Practical mistakes to avoid.
Two big ones. First, don't reinvent the wheel with clinical study designs unless absolutely necessary. Stick to accepted models. Makes life much easier with regulators and investors.
Don't get fancy if you don't have to.
Exactly. Second, and this is critical, understand the economic impact on the clinician and the practice, not just patient outcomes.
If it messes up their workflow or profitability?
Adoption will be incredibly difficult no matter how good it is for the patient. You need to factor that in.
Super important point. Okay, let's talk early stage. Deep tech innovation. Jeremy Krell had thoughts on that process.
Yeah, he stressed that innovation isn't just lab work and patents. You need to think way beyond that right from the start.
Like what?
Like product market fit, is there actually a need? Market analysis, how big is the opportunity? Business models, how will you make money? And exit opportunities, how will investors get their return?
So integrating the business thinking much, much earlier.
Absolutely. And he emphasized collaboration. Getting the scientists and the business commercial folks talking and working together early, that's key.
Because they often speak different languages.
Totally. He also noted that traditional VCs can be constrained by their fund's specific focus, which might create a gap, a need for more dedicated deep tech funding in dental.
Interesting. Okay, understanding the market opportunity. How do investors like Bart Doden's figure that out? Yeah. It's not just spreadsheets, right?
Right. He said it's a blend. You need the hard data, the market size analysis for sure. But there are softer factors too.
Like what?
Like insights from the chief scientist, their deep clinical understanding. And really grasping how the product will be used day to day in the clinic. A feel for it.
So the founder's own grasp of the marketplace is critical.
Hugely important. Bart also stressed needing a strong team, especially financially. A good CFO who manages processes, approvals, that financial discipline is essential.
And clarity again.
Yes, clarity of purpose.
Okay, let's circle back to the listener's likely question. What are some creative funding strategies for these studies? We've talked around it.
Yeah, it's a great question. Bart Doden's had an interesting take. He suggested sometimes the creativity is just in the clarity.
Simplicity is creativity.
In a way, yeah. In a complex field, having a crystal clear, simple value proposition that itself can be a powerful, creative way to attract funding.
I like that. William Weber added something too, right? About study design.
Yeah. Echoing his earlier point, for established product types, you don't always need a revolutionary study design. Post-approval, the focus, the creativity might be in studies showing market access benefits or better clinician experience.
So different types of creative. Bindusaran had an angle too.
His view was that the creative strategy often lies in how you present the data you have.
The storytelling around the data.
Exactly. Focusing that presentation squarely on the value proposition and making it obvious which part of the value chain your product improves, that's the strategic communication.
And Jeremy Krell, any out-of-the-box ideas?
He suggested thinking broader, could the tech apply outside dentistry, maybe in wider healthcare, and looking beyond traditional VCs, things like family offices, foundations.
Non-traditional sources. Okay, good practical tips. Something else practical. The data room. Seems basic, but important.
Absolutely crucial. William Weber really emphasized this. A well-organized, comprehensive virtual data room makes the due diligence process so much smoother for investors.
Builds trust, saves time.
Exactly. Thoroughness there reduces their questions and builds confidence. Make sure you include all the technical docs, regulatory communications, everything.
Good advice. Okay, last big area. How do you convince investors, especially those maybe not focused on dental, that this space is attractive?
Yeah. Attracting LPs and others, Jeremy Krell shared how Revere Partners tackles this. They position dental as a differentiated, stable, yeah, uncorrelated with some broader market swings. Stable, yeah. He mentioned AD Health Policy Institute data supporting that stability. People still need dental care, generally speaking.
Makes sense. What else makes the case?
A world-class team. That's always huge. Showing you have the right people with the right expertise.
And the business model.
Focusing on efficient scaling. Maybe channel partnerships rather than expensive direct sales forces. Or having a clear technology exit plan. Showing you have a capital-efficient path forward.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. Key takeaways from this whole deep dive.
I'd say number one, define your study goals with absolute clarity. Know why you're doing it.
Right. And understand the strategic fit beyond just efficacy. How does it fit workflows, portfolios?
Absolutely. Then tailor your pitch. Know your investor type, PE, strategic, VC. They care about different things.
Be ready for the commercialization challenges. That valley of death?
Yeah.
It's real.
It is. Build a strong team. Have a simple, powerful value proposition you can articulate easily.
And communicate effectively through well-organized data and a real understanding of the market nuances.
Exactly. All crucial pieces.
So maybe a final thought to leave everyone with. Consider this convergence. You've got rapid tech innovation hitting evolving funding landscapes.
Yeah. How is that mix going to shape the future of dental care? It's constantly changing.
And think about what role your own insights, your own work might play in that evolution. Lots to chew on there.
Definitely. Keep exploring these topics. Keep thinking critically about where dental tech is headed.